Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Celebrating 8 years is radio's small business superhero. He's a syndicated radio host, syndicated columnist, author of 2 books, and all-around nice guy.
The most fantastic crime fighter the world has ever known.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging around with me today. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. We're glad to have you here. Richard DeKayser is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. Richard is the Senior Vice President and Chief Economist at National City Bank. He's a longtime member of our Brain Trust, as you know. And as you also know, and as I like to remind you as often as I can, because we're really proud of him for this. And we're kind of proud of ourselves, too, because we picked Richard out of a crowd of a lot of economists. And we said, we think he's going to be the best. Turns out we were right, because USA Today anointed Richard as the number one economist out of 41 economists in the country for 2006. And, of course, he's got some high hopes and expectations to live up to in 2007. He's our good friend. Richard, welcome back to the show.
Always good to be here, Jim. Thanks so much.
How are you going to top 2006, Rich?
Mathematically, I think it's impossible. But that's okay. I'm trying to set the bar a little bit lower, and so far things are shaping up nicely.
Yeah. Richard, three things I want to talk about today. One, before we get through, is I want to talk about where the Fed's going to go when they're meeting today and tomorrow, and they'll make their final announcement about interest rates tomorrow. But I do want to get your thoughts on that eventually. But for the moment, let's just talk about what your perspective is on the economy. As I look at it, Richard, as a non-professional economist, sort of a dangerous amateur economist, meaning I don't have to get it exact. I just have to get it close. It just looks to me like the economy is experiencing some very complex and maybe even contradictory elements. I look around in one direction and I see things that are very, very optimistic, very hopeful. I look in another direction, I see things that are very dangerous. What do you think?
Yeah, I think you're right on target. I'll do my best to simplify matters, because I think we can simplify them a little bit. And what I mean by that is to say that the economy's been slow. Real GDP growth over the past year has been just 1.9%. That is well below par. It's not nearly close to a recession, but it's a soft patch, to be sure.
That's a year-to-date average for 07?
Year-to-date, no, that's year-over-year, so 2006 first quarter through 2007 first quarter.
I got you.
Mm-hmm. But here's where I can simplify it. The three factors that have contributed to the slowdown are housing. I mean, it really has been overwhelmingly a housing market slowdown. If you do the accounting, this 5% of GDP that economists call fixed residential investment, which is basically the building and the buying and selling of homes, that 5% of GDP is accounted for 70%, that's right, 70% of the slowdown over the past year. So there's a lot of, you're right, there's a lot of complexities around that, having to do with the lending side of the business, having to do with the investment side of the business.
Especially the subprime element.
Exactly. But at the end of the day, it's the fact that the number of homes sold over the past year has fallen about 20%, or at least since the peak in 2005, and we're seeing a big construction downturn as a result of that diminished demand.
Did we just overbuild?
Yeah, we did.
Just too much inventory for the folks looking for houses.
Absolutely, because
the economy up until 8-9 months ago, the economy wasn't too bad, wasn't doing so bad. We're still cranking out jobs like crazy, Richard.
When people
have jobs, they want to buy houses.
Yet the American consumer continues to soldier on, and I have a lot of optimism that that's not going to change. We're adding jobs at a healthy clip. The wages associated with those jobs are not booming, but they're certainly rising, even when adjusting for inflation. So the other 95% of the economy outside of housing continues to do relatively well. And in fact, if you took that 5% of the economy and could magically make it disappear, the slowdown in growth over the past year is just barely perceptible.
One of the things that, you know, I know we had a serious adjustment to the first quarter numbers to down to 0.6%,
right,
in the first quarter. Somebody on the show said that they thought that there may have been some government spending that was adjusted that we may catch, that may actually catch back up with us in the second quarter. What do you think?
No, I don't think so. In fact, people are putting out their guesses for how that number is going to be revised. Most people, including myself, are looking for a small bump up. But, you know, the government is really constrained in terms of their ability to manipulate these numbers. And frankly, if they did, it would only have bad effects because confidence would be lost. And in the end, even those who want to see the result tweaked.
Hold on to that thought, Richard. We've got to take a quick break, folks. 20 till. Richard DeKayser is our guest. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Richard DeKayser. He's chief economist for National City Bank and also senior VP there with National City Bank. And Richard, tell us a little bit about National City.
Sure. National City is a major regional bank which has been principally located in the Midwest, Ohio, Illinois, Indiana, Pennsylvania, Kentucky, Missouri, and increasingly is moving further afield. I'm in Florida right now. We have a large presence here in this state, and by end of the year, we'll be up into Wisconsin. So we're big into small business lending, which is why you've reached out to us in the first place.
A large SBA lender.
Yeah, I think dominant in most of our states. We've been at this longer than most since 1800s, to be exact. And,
is that right? I didn't realize the bank was that old.
Yeah, it is. It is. Started by early industrialists named like Theodoric Severance and the like.
Mm-hmm. What year do you remember?
1846.
Wow, 1846. Wow, that's incredible. 161 years. That's great.
Yep.
Yeah, we love to hear those kinds of success stories. So let's get back into the economy, Richard, tell us again what you think about, continue your conversation with us about how the economy is doing and about some of the sectors you were just telling us about, the housing sector,
right,
and the challenges that it has. And it seems to me that what I can tell, long-term interest rates are easing up, and that's not going to be good for housing, is it?
No, it isn't. And not to stick with this theme, but it really is the story, the housing market. And the good news is that we're about a year into this process. We're starting to see the correction play out, by which I mean that the decline in construction activity is starting to bring inventories down a little bit. We're seeing a diminished drag on growth. That is to say that the pace at which the housing sector is declining is slowing. So there's a lot of good news. We're working our way through the problem. There's a lot of uncertainties, and you mentioned one, interest rates. Mm-hmm. They've moved up significantly in the past couple of months, could very conceivably move up significantly further, not my best guess, but a major risk. And a second issue relates to these subprime mortgages that were very popular a couple of years ago. The money was lent out too easily.
That's right.
To people who are not well equipped to manage those kind of very uncertain risks. There were all kinds of mortgages.
I never understood why those products were even available. Richard, we've had 200 years since Hamilton of building solid, the most envied financial market in the capital market in the world,
and then
we create this product that sounds like something you get in China.
You know, it was largely market-driven. Here was the situation. Home prices were falling further and further and further out of reach. In 2006, home affordability was worse than it had been in decades.
Mm-hmm.
But because prices were still rising, there was just this intense desire to get into the market. And the way you could do that was all of this creative financing, interest-only mortgages, adjustable interest, and even something came up called the option adjustable rate mortgage, meaning if you felt in any particular month like you didn't want to make the full payment, you could just increase the loan amount. Well, those were all very, not all used very poorly, but certainly high risk.
It's just walking around with a bottle of nitroglycerin, you know, waiting for the explosion. And of course, there were also those loans where you could actually borrow more than the value of the home.
That's what I'm talking about. So, you know, those chickens are coming home to roost right now. The good news is we are right now in the thick of that event. That is to say, a lot of these mortgages, which were extended at the peak of the subprime boom in 2005, had two-year mortgage reset features, which are coming due right now. So in the next 3 months, we're going to get a lot of information.
Is this going to be tantamount to the kind of thing that happened with the SNL adjustment that had to be made in 87, 88, 89?
You know, I don't think so.
Won't be that bad?
No, I don't think so. Fortunately, the regulations have become a lot firmer since that time. In 87 and 86, really, there was... a lot of the lending went on prior to that time, but there was a lot of lex regulation, which actually encouraged very, very easy savings and loan lending. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't the housing industry. It was commercial real estate. And when that busted, there wasn't a safety net as there is in the mortgage market to keep consumers.
What do you think about inflation?
Still a little, I don't want to overstate the case. On a year-over-year basis, the Fed's preferred measure of core inflation, which again is what policymakers focus on, 2%.
But that completely avoids food and energy.
It does. I know
which I think is a bad indicator these days.
Yes and no, and this is where the you're absolutely right. You got to throw food and energy there to understand how it's affecting the average American. If your pay goes up 3 or 4%, but food prices go and all items that you buy go up 5 or 6%, you're losing ground. The reason our policymakers like to look past that is because those increases can switch direction. And if you just think about the past year, we had oil at $75 a barrel last August, at $55 a barrel in January. Now we're back up at $65. So in the short run, it can be huge, but even over a period as short as a year, it can start to.
But it's already starting. But it's been high now compared to where it was a few years ago for a long time. And everybody I talk to says it's not going to go down, not that much.
You're talking about energy prices and
gasoline prices.
Yes. Totally. Well, that's right. So for the consumer,
I think we need to plan on that being part of our core basket of goods. I think it seems to me in the future, and with the increase in emphasis on biofuels, that's going to affect our food prices. Stand by, Richard. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, more on this with Richard Acaser, and what is the Fed going to do this week? I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Check them out when you get a chance. No barrier to entry. Both of them will help you. One has the show and the newsletter and the blog and lots of other stuff. That's smallbusinessadvocate.com. Askjim.biz is our knowledge base. That's where you can go to find answers to your small business questions instantaneously. No cost to you. Just check it out, show up, and we'll let you in, and you can use it to your advantage. Richard DeCaser is our guest. We're talking about the economy and I'm going to ask Richard now, sir, if you will, give us an idea about where you think the economy is going to be over the next, say, the rest of 2007. How should we be budgeting for 2007?
Well, I think it's going to see some improvement. The principal reason for that is that this housing market correction that we've been talking about is moving forward. We're seeing that drag diminish, and the rest of the economy is in pretty good shape. So I think we'll see some improvement in growth. But having said that, we're coming off of a very slow one-year period, so it's not as though we're going to go to gangbusters. My bet is that we're going to see the economy return to what people call its long-term potential, which is, in real GDP terms, somewhere around 3%, which would be up from 2%. But Back in 2004, we had 4%. So it's going to be that kind of fair to middling economy that is going to vary a lot depending upon who you are and what you do. And, you know, for those in particular industries like housing, it's going to continue to feel like a recession.
Don't you think that the rest of the world's economy kind of picking up a little bit? Europe's picking up a little bit.
Oh, absolutely.
India and China's going to, isn't that kind of good news? It's either directly or indirectly, you know, depending on whether you're an exporter or not, you know, even if you're not, many of your customers are. So directly or indirectly, that's going to be good for our economy, isn't it?
Absolutely, and that's one of the bright spots. That's why I said depends on who you are and what you do. Export performance has been one of the wins in our sales over the past year. 2006 was the first year in a decade where we saw our net export performance, that is exports net of imports, actually improve, and that has only gained momentum in 2007. And part one of that story you just talked about, the fact that our trading partners are doing better.
Mm-hmm.
Part two also is that the dollar is weakened considerably on foreign exchange markets, so that's helping with the pricing power of U.S. exports. So that's one of the important offsets, to be sure.
What do you think the Fed's going to do this week?
Absolutely nothing. The federal funds rate, which is their principal policy instrument, has been fixed at 5.25% now for a year. I think it'll stay there for some time to come. And they're really in the horns of a dilemma. If they raise interest rates, they run the risk of hurting the admittedly still vulnerable housing market.
Mm-hmm.
If they cut interest rates, they run the risk of really putting some life back into the housing market, more than they would like to see, and in turn getting economic growth stronger than it would be. And that's going to run afoul of their inflationary objectives, which are to keep this inflation under control and get it a little bit lower than it has been. So a damned if you do, damned if you don't, which leaves them exactly where they are doing nothing. And
how do Fed bankers feel about not doing nothing for a year? That's a little bit
well, you and I have talked about
uncomfortable
this.
For them, isn't it?
Not really. You know, you and I have talked about this. The Fed has, during the Greenspan tenure, there has been a habit of going too far in either direction. When they're raising rates, they tend to overshoot. When they're cutting rates, they tend to undercut.
Right.
It's added volatility to the interest rate market, I would argue, more than needed to be. So this new sheriff in town, Ben Bernanke, appears to be choosing a more stable tack, mm-hmm. and I think that's good. I think it'll help people plan for the future and spend less time worrying about hedging all of these interest rate risks and more time thinking about running their businesses.
Well, and I agree. And you know, when I was taught to fly an airplane on instruments, I was taught to make tiny, tiny corrections. You know, don't make big corrections. Make little corrections. And if you get the course where you think you ought to be, just make little corrections back and forth. And it seems to me that that's what the Fed needs to do more and more of. And I agree with you. I think they're not going to do anything. I think they're going to sit where they are. And I think they've got it just about right too. I mean, fundamentally, with a couple of exceptions, our economy is pretty solid, isn't it?
It is, absolutely.
Yeah. Richard, give us that website again for National City.
Sure, nationalcity.com. That's the main website. And if you want to prod around our economic research, just add /economics towards the end.
And that's where you got a monthly report that you produce, the Financial Market Outlook.
A monthly, a quarterly, and tons of research on the housing market itself.
A lot of good stuff there. Richard, thank you for being here. Good job today, as always.
Always a pleasure, Jim.
See you next time. Richard DeKayser, ladies and gentlemen, Executive Vice President, Senior Vice President, I guess, I should say, and Chief Economist at National City Bank, and he'll be back, I promise. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you to always seek excellence, not perfection.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.